Appreciate all the texts. Scoot will be back soon. I'm Dave Cohen, joining you today to talk about a number of topics. But right now, I want to focus a little bit more on politics, because I saw a report this morning from Gallup that for the first time ever, more Americans say they're Republican than say they are Democrats. What has led to this change, and what does it mean going forward to help us understand it? John Cuvion, pollster and analyst with JMC Analytics, joins us. Hey, John, how you doing?
Really good. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, always a pleasure when you're here to help us understand what's going on in this wild world of politics. Last week we talked to you about the fact that Louisiana, which is solidly red, consistently votes Republican, still has more registered Democrats than Republicans. And I just want to make clear that this Gallup analysis was not of registered voters or what it says on their voter registration, but of surveys of voters and what they say. Because right. Clearly, Louisiana is a perfect example. What it says on your voter registration card and how you vote, not necessarily the same, is it?
Correct. And I think, you know, the thing you have to appreciate, as I like to tell people who are less interested and who are in politics but don't understand the 99% of us who are not in politics, and that is going down to the registrar of voters to have your voter registration change is typically not on your to-do list, which, of course, is why you have that lag in the people changing their political parties. Is unless you're into voting in presidential primaries, thus far there is no reason to change the party you registered as, you know, in 1975.
So help me understand this, because historically, I remember from my political science courses in college, large cities tend to lean Democratic and more rural areas tend to lean more Republican. Yet, and most of the nation's population has historically been in large cities. So do we have more people now moving out of large cities and becoming more conservative? Do we have large cities becoming more conservative amongst their voters? What has changed so that now, for the first time in American history, according to Gallup, more people identify as Republicans than Democrats?
Well, there are two thoughts I have about that without having specifically seen the Gallup analysis. Number one is one exception to your rule about the solidly Republican rural area is that if you're talking about the South or a border state, rural areas used to be solidly Democratic. So that kind of complicates the picture somewhat. With regards to cities being Democratic, you could also make the argument that oftentimes the population of a core metropolitan area is stagnant and families want to move further and further out to have more affordable housing and or schools they can have confidence in and so forth. So that's another part of the puzzle. And then the third part, which is pertaining to Gallup specifically, is I'm kind of wondering when you talk about there being more Republicans than Democrats, I would imagine you have a fairly substantial percentage who decline to identify as part of either party. In other words, the much heralded independents is what I'm referring to here.
Yeah, I'll pull up the details from Gallup. What they said was that 48% of U.S. adults now say they at least lean toward the Republican Party, whereas only 45% say the same about the Democratic Party.
Okay. So in other words, what that survey is doing is it's nudging people towards one party or the other, because typically I would expect to see about 30 to 35% be independent. And incidentally, if you were to take an aggregation of all 30 states across the country that have party registration, it breaks out to about 38, 32 Democrat, Republican, and another 30% are quote-unquote independent. So that could be one crucial difference with the Gallup survey is if they're pushing people to be part of one party or the other. But having said that, the fact that you have more people identifying as Republicans, I do find is interesting, and I think you could make the argument that some of that could play into the presidential race this year.
And that's kind of where I was going with it. And I think what they did, it was a combination of things, of asking people in surveys, but also looking at their historic voting patterns, because obviously people like me who are registered no party or independent, most times we don't have an option on the ballot. And personally, I'm not registered no party because I want to vote for someone who is not affiliated with either party. It's because I don't want to identify with either party, but I want to be free to vote for them. So I think if you look at the voting history of no party, combine that with the people who are registered for one party or the other, you come to these numbers. But so I want to finish up on the why. Do you think American values, American philosophies, American politics have changed, that there are more people who are more conservative than liberal now? Do you think there's been a shift in our country where people are thinking more conservatively now versus in the past?
Well, my experience with politics is you'll basically have 30 or so year cycles where people, one ideology has its ebbs and flows. The thing which I think is interesting about this presidential election with regards to that Gallup survey is when you're talking about the fact that, number one, the Democrats are the party in power, and number two, despite what the government statistics at face value say, which would suggest that we should be happy for the economic expansion going on, I think the issue here is, number one, concern about immigration/border issues, and number two, not just the fact that you have inflation and or rising interest rates, but the fact that you have not had the combination of the two in 40-plus years. That, to me, is the most salient part about the inflation interest rate discussion is whether you want to say it's high or not. When people have gotten used to year after year of relatively low inflation and interest rates under 5%, and all of a sudden that's changed, it doesn't matter if it was better than in 1979. What a whole generation of people do see, though, is, wait a minute, this house is now, the monthly payment's 20% more, or if I want to go buy the proverbial gallon of milk or a loaf of bread, it's 30 or 40% more. Those are the kinds of things that I think people react to, as opposed to government statistics saying that, oh, well, the unemployment rate's 3.5%.
And you think that if people are feeling the impacts of those high interest rates and of that inflation, it may make them, maybe when they didn't previously, lean a little more conservative, because they know that typically Republicans favor lower taxes and less money coming out of their pockets, while Democrats identify the other direction.
People react to what they perceive as opposed to what the statistics say. So in a roundabout way, I'm saying what you're saying. I'm just putting it in political terms.
Yeah, and I always just try to make sure I understand.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't want to misunderstand what you're saying. So,
sure.
So that being said, assuming that this is correct, that Gallup's analysis is accurate, and it says mm-hmm. that more people now are Republican than Democrat in the way they behave, the way they vote, and their political thinking, regardless of what's on their voter registration. What does that mean right. for this presidential race that is now, what, 40 days away?
Yeah, it's the interesting thing about that is, according to, I've been tracking the early voting across our country, and so not only have more than 50 million requested a ballot, but I'm also showing that at least 520,000 have actually voted. And that's just in the states I know about. I think the true number is probably easily 1 to 1.5 million. And of course, here in Louisiana, October 18th is when early voting starts. But getting back to your immediate question about the impact on the presidential election, if people are feeling in a more Republican mood, then all of a sudden that means that if you're a Kamala Harris, you have to start espousing things that may sound more Republican, which, by the way, she has been doing on the campaign trail, which is all of a sudden she's visiting the border and she's talking about being business friendly and she's talking
about crime.
So you'll notice that she's not talking about hope and change like what was happening in 2008. She's basically trying to co-opt some Republican ideas, which is why Donald Trump made that wisecrack about giving her the red MAGA hat at the first debate.
Where are we now? I mean, every time you and I have talked, it's too close mm-hmm. to call in the key swing states that are actually going to make this decision on who's going to be president. Here we are
yes.
just over a month away from the election. We have our vice presidential debate tomorrow night, which we'll talk about more in just a second. Mm-hmm. Where are we right now in terms of if the election were held today, which it never will be, but if it were,
right.
how would it turn out?
So what I'm seeing, on the surface, it would seem to indicate that Kamala Harris is in the driver's seat. But the disturbing undertone to that is the 2 to 2.5 point lead I've been seeing in the polls, which is if you were to average all polls and take a 7-day average like I like to do, that 2 to 2.5% number has remained pretty much constant since mid-August. And by the way, that 2 to 2.5%, that is the amount by which Hillary Clinton actually led in the national popular vote 8 years ago. And now we're at the point in the election cycle where I can start to see, okay, pollster XYZ is polling Pennsylvania for the umpteenth time. Let's see what happened that time pollster XYZ previously polled Pennsylvania. Almost without exception, I'm not seeing signs of Harris further consolidating her leads. I'm seeing her stuck at the 0 to +2% margin, which in my opinion could become a mirage if you're talking about greater Republican enthusiasm and or historical polling errors that have tilted Democratic.
So roundabout, put it in a nutshell, right now it's still too close to call.
It's still too close to call, but I would not be terribly surprised if Donald Trump won.
So Harris is in the driver's seat right now, but over the next month and 10 days, you think that it's possible that Trump could see just enough, he doesn't need a lot, just enough of a surge to take those key swing states?
Yes, and I would add to that that I think she's plateaued. So kind of, I'm nitpicking with you on words here. I mean, driver's seat to me would be if, let's say, she was at plus 2 months ago.
You said driver's seat.
Well, sure. Fair enough. But that's what makes these shows so much fun, doesn't it?
Yes.
But I think a more accurate way to describe it, and like I said, I know that you and I could get into nuance forever. When I'm seeing that she's stuck at +2 to +2.5, and she's not moving, number one, and number two, I have seen from looking at polling before that there is a several-point tilt to the Democrats that is not supported by actual numbers. That's the part about I think it is possible for Donald Trump to win.
All right. And we will find out, of course, in 40 days. We do not know.
Absolutely.
Now. Yeah. Tomorrow night, and you'll hear it live here on WWL, the CBS News vice presidential debate, when Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance and Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz go toe-to-toe. We'll carry it live for you, starting at 8 p.m. Central. How much of a difference can it make, particularly in a race that this is this close? Are swing voters who are still undecided, and there's got to be such a finite small number of those, but the few voters who may still be undecided or could be pushed from one candidate to the other, are they going to be watching and listening to the vice presidential debate?
I think what's going to be the potential impression setter, I mean, because it's vice presidential and it's the undercard, it won't get as much attention. But the key is you don't want to make any egregious errors, like saying something so odious that all of a sudden it becomes the national news for the next few days. So it's kind of like, was it the old Boy Scout motto of do no harm? That's how I would approach the vice presidential debates, is you want your candidates to do just well enough to where they don't embarrass themselves and the ticket by implication.
So you don't really worry that the election is going to be won or lost based on the people watching or listening to the debate. It's the news coverage of it that follows that could have a greater impact. So even if someone does not sit down and hang on every word of the debate, what they hear about it afterwards could influence enough voters to make a difference?
Theoretically, and by the way, I would even go so far as to say, in addition to the news coverage, any applicable SNL skits?
Sure.
Saturday Night Live?
It has an impact. There's no doubt. And it's right. And we're talking about a very small number of voters who are going to end up making the decision, because right now, as you pointed out, this race is within 0 to 2%. In terms of the popular vote, and of course we know that the popular vote doesn't determine the presidency, it's the state-by-state electoral college vote that ends up making the decision, and you could win the popular vote without winning the electoral vote. So it all comes down to that finite and that very small number of individuals. But, yeah, who knows what influences them? Maybe it's a Facebook post. Maybe it's an SNL skit. Maybe it's a news report. Maybe it's something a friend or colleague says. It's that close at this point.
Right. As they would say, telephone, tell a friend.
All right. So what can we anticipate over the next 40 days, do you think? We know Donald Trump has turned up the rhetoric, calling Kamala Harris things like stupid and mentally deficient and really criticizing her intelligence over and over again at recent debates, campaign appearances. Do you think that'll be effective, or what else do you think we'll see from his side and from Harris's side?
So there's really two things I'm looking at which do not necessarily apply to what insults he is hurling Kamala Harris's way. The two things I'm looking at is this. Number one, whether there is, in fact, another debate between Trump and Harris. Even though the two are arguing over the finer points, I'm not convinced that there would not be another debate. So that's one thing. Another thing is, as early voting starts to accelerate, and I'm talking about mail-in ballots from Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Florida coming in, and then in-person early voting will start ramping up next week, I'm really of the opinion that what I see with regards to party enthusiasm between now and October 15th is pretty much going to tell us the story about the election, regardless of the fact that we have, in fact, November 5th as the election day.
40 days of fun, absolutely, yes. Coming up for us, and for people like you more so than others. I know that you love every minute of this, and this is what you live for. And we are so glad you do, and that you share your insights with us here on WWL. John Kuvion, JMC Analytics, thanks for joining us, and I know we'll be talking to you again real soon.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
There he goes, John Kuvion here on WWL. All right, what do you think? 504-260-1870. Why do you think that Gallup has come to the conclusion that the nation now, for the first time ever, has more people identifying as Republican than Democrat? Are we becoming a more conservative society? Are we moving away from traditionally more liberal views, particularly in large cities? Or do you think maybe more people are moving to suburbs and moving out to the urban, to the non-urban rural areas? And by nature of that, are adopting more conservative viewpoints? I'm curious. Why do you think that is? And do you think it's going to impact the upcoming election? 504-260-1870. You can also comment on everything else we've been talking about, from the Saints to contractor fraud and greed and the rest of the Flintstones anniversary. Whatever you want to talk about, we're opening it up for the last few minutes of the program here next. Your calls and texts at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line.